Like I said, this is the last service of the 2017. And what you've done for God this year, you've done, and what you've not done, just about over with. But here in Samuel, 1 Samuel, chapter number 1, I want to preach a message this morning. I'll call Time Keeps Rolling Along. Time don't wait on anybody. Time is something, and God gave me a thought one time that time is something that really doesn't exist. You can't see it. You can't hold it. You can't stop it. You can't save it. You can spend a little bit of it, I guess, if you want to call it that, or waste it, whatever you want to say. But time is something that just rolls on and on and on and on and on. And God don't even have a clock. He's not. We say, Lord, I need this and I need you to hurry. And God's like, I don't need to hurry. I've got the rest of the time in the world. And so time is something that really, if you try to measure it, the only way we can keep track of it's with a watch or a clock. You throw those away and nobody'd have any idea about time. Except maybe by a sand dial or an hourglass or something like that. But anyway, in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, I want to try to give you a message this morning, the help of the Lord, that will hopefully get you to thinking about time. And I tell you, time is running out for every single one of us. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. Time is something that we just don't have an abundance of. Not anymore. I used to, when I was young, I thought I had all the time there was in the world. But the older I get, I realize that that's not the case at all. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, and the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts, to Shiloh. And two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. Now I want to skip over all that about them for right now, but go on down here to about verse number 9. The Bible said, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, and now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore, and she vowed a vow, and said, Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the afflictions of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but wilt give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. We ask you, God, you just bless in the preaching hour. Lord, I ask you, Father, just to bless in this message that, Lord, I'd be able to deliver it the way you gave it to me. Lord, I ask for your anointing this morning. Father, without the Holy Ghost of God, none of it's worth anything. But Lord, I just ask you to help people to realize that we're not here forever. Lord, there's a time limit on this life. And Lord, some people's time's shorter than others, some longer than others. But God, you're the only one that knows. And Lord, help us to just be ready when our hour comes. Be with us now, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the Bible said that this man, Elkanah, had two wives. And one of them had some sons and daughters. And Of course, Hannah, she didn't have any children, and this was something that in this day and time, if a woman couldn't have children for her husband, she just about felt worthless. And that may even be the case today. I don't really know how a woman would feel. I mean, if we hadn't had any children, it would just be it wouldn't bother me like I'm sure it would have my wife, maybe. But Hannah was really bothered by the fact that her husband, she couldn't have any children for him. And I know today the trend has changed, and seem like women today and young girls, they just want to have children. They don't even have a husband. They just want the children. And I think the husband should come first before the children. But Hannah was, they went up to the temple to worship up at Shiloh. And the Bible says that this woman, Peninnah, she always was making fun of Hannah and bothering her about the fact, I've got children and you don't have any. And that just made bad matters worse. But Hannah was in a real tight place over this. And she was in a mourning nearly over the fact that she couldn't have any children for her husband. There's a song that we used to hear sometimes back, I guess, in the 70s. Haven't heard it in a long time. But the words of the chorus says that day follows night and night follows day, and this old world just keep rolling along. And what will your answer be? What will you say when Jesus beckons you home? Now I want to tell you something. Every day and every night, that's the Bible said God created a heaven and earth on the first day. He made things, and the morning and the evening were the first day. And then the morning and the evening were the second day. And in our society today, in America, we use a calendar that in 365 mornings and evenings, that's a year that's gone by. And so time just keeps going and going and going. You can't stop it. You can't slow it down. If you could, somebody would surely do that, and then we'd all live forever. But that's not possible. And Hannah here, she was really tore up over the fact that she had no children, and it just made her life miserable. And so in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, and we read a few verses there from 9 and on down a few verses, that Hannah, after that she they had eaten and they drank and they she got up and left and went to the temple, and Eli was sitting in the temple. Now that was the high priest at that time, and he was seated in there, and he was watching her as she fell down before God and began to pray, Lord. And she made a vow to God that if he would give her a man child, that she would give him back to the Lord all the days of his life. And the Bible said that Eli watched her, and her mouth moved, but there was no voice. And so he thought she was drunk. But she said, I'm not drunk. I'm just in sorrow, and I'm praying for God to give me a son. And so the Bible said that that Hannah and her family went back home. And the Bible said that in verse number 20, if you drop down there, if you still got your place, he said, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Now the Bible teaches me that this woman that was barren, after she prayed, the Bible said that God, in verse number 9, the Bible said, and the Lord remembered her. I'm glad that God remembers us. There in verse number 19, not 9, but the Bible said that the Lord remembered Hannah and her prayer, and He gave her a son, and she called his name Samuel because she had asked of him of the Lord. And she'd made a vow now that she would take Samuel to the Shiloh and leave him in the temple and let him serve God. She's going to lend him to God all the days of his life. Now I want to tell you something. That must have been a hard thing for her to do. But until we become willing to give the most precious thing that we have to the Lord, we're not never going to find out where Hannah was after she did that. We need to give God what we have. You say, I don't have nothing to give Him. Everybody's got something to give. Everybody's got something. But the problem is, everybody wants to hold on to what they got. And God never blesses you as long as you're holding on with a death grip to the things that God has blessed you with and the things that you have that you could be using for God. I tell you, God never blesses you as long as you're doing that. There's a lot of folks today that could be doing a lot of work for the Lord, but they're doing nothing for God. They're sitting back saying, let somebody else do it. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I'm not going to do it. And they are stubborn about it, a lot of them, and they are just not going to do anything that God wants them to do. I always remember a story I heard about a man in North Carolina that was a marvelous piano player, but they said he'd get in church where there was nobody else to play, and they couldn't beg him or buy him to play the piano. He'd rather sit and let the church do without music as to offer his talent to God. And they said one day over on Interstate 40, he was in an accident and lost one of his arms. And after that, nobody ever asked him again to play the piano. Listen, when we've got a talent, when we've got something to do for the Lord, we had better do it. If you can sing, you better start singing. If you can teach, you better start teaching. If you can witness, you better start witnessing. We need to give the things that we have to God for His service. Amen. Hannah said to the Lord, said, you give me a man child, and I'll give him back to you. And then she told her husband as they went up to worship. The Bible said that when the time came that they went back to Shiloh in verse number 22. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And so Hannah didn't go up to worship until the child was weaned. And Hannah stayed home with that son. Don't you know that every day that she held that child in her arms, it must have gotten harder for her to give him up? Don't you know that every day that she spent with him, maybe teaching him to talk a little bit and trying to get him weaned and trying to teach him things about God, and don't you know that every minute she spent with him made it harder when the time came that she had to surrender him over to God? And she could have been like a lot of people and say, God, I've changed my mind. I'm just not going to do it. I can't do it. I can't bring myself to do it. But Hannah didn't do that. I'm thankful today that she said to her husband, I'm going to stay here, and when the child's weaned, then I'll take him up and I'll offer him to God just like I said I would, and he can stay in the temple of God for the rest of his life. Verse number 24. And when he had weaned, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, an ephah of flour, a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Now what I'm preaching this morning, time just rolls on. This, we started preaching this morning, Hannah didn't have a child. She didn't have the idea she'd ever have a child. She was childless and seemed like that it might be that way until her dying day. But she prayed to God, and God gave her this son that she named Samuel. Now we're going from a time when Samuel didn't even exist. Samuel wasn't even a thought. And now all of a sudden she's holding Samuel in her arms. You see, as time goes on, as day follows night, and night follows day, and time just keep rolling on, all of a sudden this man looked up and Hannah had a son named Samuel. And time still goes on. It didn't stop there, but time just keep rolling on, and on time goes. And I'll tell you something, one of these days our time's going to run out. But she took the child when it was weaned and took it up to the temple at Shiloh, and the Bible said the child was young. Now Samuel wasn't even thought of in verse number 1. Samuel was conceived down about verse number 19, I think. And then Samuel was born in verse number 20. And he was just a baby. And now in verse number 24, he's a young child. And time just goes on and on. Listen, time don't stand still when we're babies. Time don't stand still before we're born. Time don't stand still when we're born. Time never stands still for anything. Time just rolls on. On and on and on. On it goes every day. Time just keeps going. And that's the same way in Samuel's life. His mother left him in the temple. And don't you know that journey home must have been hard on her? But then maybe not, because she had blessed God with something that she had promised him. And I'll tell you something, when you make God a promise and you fulfill that promise that you made to him, it makes you feel pretty good.
Amen.
They went home and left Samuel in the temple. I tell you, I just have to believe that this mother's heart was nearly broken, but then, like I said, maybe it was full of joy because she had given something to the Lord. She promised God, if you don't forget me, this is what I'll do. And God remembered her, and this is what she did. And I imagine on the way home, maybe her husband said, honey, I'm so sorry that this had to be this way. She might have said, don't be sorry. I'm glad that my son is in the house of God. He's a servant of the Lord for his whole life. I've given God something that I promised him, and he'll be used greatly of the Lord.
Amen.
So many people today take their children, they give them to football coaches. They give them to basketball coaches. They give them to soccer coaches. They give them to everybody in the world. But they won't give them to God. They give their children everything in the world and every place in the world, but they never think about giving them to God. I'll tell you something, I never cared if my children was football stars or basketball stars. I certainly didn't want them to be music stars or anything like that. All I ever wanted for my children from the day they was born, I prayed that God one day would save their soul. It was my prayer and my heart's desire that God would come into their life and make a something out of them and make a child of God from them and something that God could use. And I'm glad for the day that the Lord came and saved my children. I tell you, the greatest thing that happened since the Lord saved me.
Right.
See your children saved. Hannah left Samuel in the temple at Shiloh, and the child was young. He was a child. Wasn't a baby. He's a child now. I don't know how old he is exactly, but he's a young child. The Bible said for this child in verse 27, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped at the Lord there. Second chapter, 1 Samuel, verse number 18. "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod." Listen, that was some of the priestly garments that this child was wearing. That's some of the things that the priest wore, but here this child was. Oh, just a child, but he's already in service for God. Listen, don't tell me that children are ever too young to do something for the Lord, because God can use anybody, no matter what their age is.
Amen.
Doesn't matter. God don't have age limit. Remember, he don't know what time is. So if you're 5 years old or 50 years old, God don't hardly know the difference. He just, time just don't mean nothing to him. Does to us, but not to him. Listen, Samuel was a child, but he was assisting Eli the priest in the work of the Lord. Oh my, what a blessing that was. And the Bible said in verse 19 of that second chapter, "And moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him year to year. When she came up with her husband to offer yearly sacrifice, she brought Samuel, this child, a coat. Year after year after year, she brought this child a coat." And you see what's happening? She's bringing a coat from year to year. You know what's happening? Time's just moving right along. 1 year after another year after another year, time is still moving along. And she's bringing this child of hers a coat. Don't you know that no matter how sad she was to have to leave him there, don't you know she was proud when she came and saw what her son was doing for God? Don't you know that made that mother proud to see what her young son was doing in the work of the Lord? I tell you something, that Peninnah, I believe she quit making fun now, because Hannah had something that she could never have. And that's a servant of God. Listen, the priest, when Hannah brought Samuel and gave him to the priest, gave him over to Eli, said, "This is the child that I promised that I would bring to God. And God has blessed me, and now I'm giving him to you." And Eli prayed for Hannah and her husband and said, "May God give you many children by this woman." And I'll tell you something, Hannah wasn't childless after that. She had more children after that. God blessed her, you see, because she did what God wanted her to do. And because she obeyed God, God blessed her in the things that she had need of. And that was more children. She had enough children around the house that maybe kind of took her mind off of Samuel. But every year, she'd knit him a little coat and take it up there to him, up to Shiloh in the temple. And she probably walked in, said, "I'm here to see Samuel." And they said, "Who are you?" She said, "I'm his mother." Listen, I want to tell you something. That must have been one proud mother. And time just rolls on and on. It don't wait on nobody. Listen, time's going on. I wonder, you know, this could have been the only time that Hannah saw Samuel anytime through the year. I don't know how far it was from where they was at to Shiloh, but it wasn't like us getting in the car and driving over here to the church. It was a distance that they had to travel, and they probably only made that trip maybe once a year, and that may be the only time that Hannah ever got to see young Samuel. But I'll tell you something, he was in good hands, because God was taking care of him. And time rolling on. I wonder how many coats Samuel got before Hannah didn't come anymore, because God had called her home. I wonder when the family came, and maybe Samuel looked out and said, "Where's Mom?" Well, we buried her last month or 2 months ago, but she just wanted you to know she loves you. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Time does not wait on anybody. And we've all got an appointment. The Bible said the appointed man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. That appointment day is coming to you. I don't care who you are. Don't care what you are. I don't care what you think about yourself. You are going to die one day.
Man.
Well, that's kind of morbid, ain't it? But it's still the truth.
Right.
And the truth will set you free. Listen, Hannah came up and she brought Samuel a little coat. Year after year after year, she brought him a coat and gave it to him. Listen, Hannah, she came up here with her husband and her family, and she brought Samuel the things that he had need of. People say, well, she took him to the temple and forsook him. No, she didn't. She gave him to God. Listen, I want to tell you something. You never forsake your children by giving them to God. You forsake them if you don't give them to God. I'll tell you that. Listen, the Bible said in chapter 9, the Bible said in verse 8, and the servant Samuel, or the servant answered Saul again and said, "Behold, I have here at hand a fourth of a part of a shekel of silver that I will give to the man of God to tell us our way." Listen, this is Samuel that they're talking about. You see, he said, what they said, they was out hunting Saul's dad's asses and they had run off and they was out hunting them. And Saul said, "We better go home before Dad quits worrying about them and start worrying about us." And this man, this servant of Saul, said, "There's a seer down here in this city and we're going to go down and ask him." And Saul said, "We don't have anything to give." And this man said, "I got a little bit here that I will give him." And they went down to the city where the seer was, and here in the 8th verse said, and the servant said, "Behold, I have a fourth part of a shekel of silver. I'll give it to the man of God." You see, Samuel wasn't even thought of in verse 1. In verse number 8 or 9, he was born. And in verse number 24, he's a young child in the temple. And now over here in chapter number 9, Samuel is he's a man now. You see, what's happening, time is going on and on and on. Samuel didn't stay a baby forever. He didn't stay a child forever. Time goes on. Listen, we're closing out another year, and 2018 just right around the corner, and time is going on and on and on it's going. And you know something, the young children, they're growing into young men. Young men, they're getting older. And so Samuel here, as they're going down to see him, he's an older man now. He's a grown man at this point. And so the Bible said that as they went down there and asked about him, they said, "Is the seer in?" And somebody directed them to the man of God. The man, not the child, not the baby, not the one that's never heard of, but the man of God. Samuel's grown now. You know what it takes to grow from a child to a man? Time. Takes time. And this time is going on and on and on. Listen, the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and it came to pass when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now we've got Samuel from a prayer that his mama made in the temple. We've got him to a baby that she's holding in her arms. And time just goes on and on. We've got him weaned, and we've got him in the temple of God doing the work of God. And he's a young child. And we've got him over a little bit. He's a man. And now we've got Samuel over here in this 8th chapter and verse number 1. He's an old man. See, Samuel is coming through his whole life. His life is basically behind him. There's a lot of us here this morning like that. Our lives are just about gone. And I tell you something, that's a sobering thought, I guess. But I want to tell you something. The closer I get to my heavenly home, the more I get closer to Jesus. I'm looking forward to the day. And I don't have a death wish. Don't you get me wrong. I want to live just as long as God will allow me to live. I want to preach the Word of God just as long as I can. But I'll tell you something. One of these days, I'm going to be an old man. I mean, not what I am now. I'm going to be an old man. And then after that, then the Lord will probably call me home. But I'll tell you, Samuel, here in this eighth chapter, he was an old man. Then in the Bible said in the 25th chapter of 1 Samuel, verse number 1, and Samuel died. Samuel died, just like everybody else does. Samuel died, and all Israel were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. Listen, we brought this man from being a prayer that his mother made. All the way through his life, his mom's done passed. His dad, no doubt, has already passed. All the rest of his family, his brothers and sisters, we don't know anything about them, what they were doing or anything else, but we find the place up here in the 25th chapter said that child that was born back there to Hannah because of that wonderful prayer that she prayed, and now he's died. Oh, it's coming to every one of us, church. It just keeps rolling on. Day follows night. Night follows day. This old world just keeps rolling along. What will your answer be? What will you say when Jesus beckons you home? What are you going to say when you stand before the Lord? I meant to. I thought about it. I should have, I would have, I could have. What are you going to say? What is your answer going to be when God questions you about why you did certain things and didn't do certain things? What is your answer going to be when God calls you on the carpet? When Jesus calls you before the judgment bar and asks you about some things? What's your answer going to be? I know I should have. I just didn't. I know I could have. But it just wouldn't. Oh, what a sad occasion that's going to be. Samuel was old, and Samuel died. Then the 28th chapter of 1 Samuel, the Bible tells us that Saul was really in a discouraging place. He was seeking God, wasn't finding him. He was seeking a priest, he couldn't find one. He was seeking a prophet, and none was around. He was looking for a seer. He was looking for anybody that could help him with anything. And he couldn't find nobody. And the only person that he could think of that could help him was Samuel. And Samuel's already dead. What a predicament. So we've got a man here that went out and destroyed all of the people with familiar spirits out of the land, which God said to do. And now he's trying to find one. And they said, there's a witch down here at Endor. A lady down here, a woman down here, got a familiar spirit. And Saul went down to her and said, would you call up who I tell you to? And she called Samuel up from the dead. I want to tell you something. That gets into some areas I don't understand. I think I know a little bit about it, but... But I'm going to tell you, well, one thing is they all went to paradise then. They didn't go to heaven. Mm-hmm. Paul said when to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And that's the case now. But in this day and time, they died and they went to a place called paradise. Right. That's where Jesus went and released them after he died on Calvary. Right. So Samuel wasn't actually... in the presence of the Lord, I suppose. But I don't know. I'm not even going to try to explain it any more than that. But I want to tell you this. The Bible said that this witch called up Samuel. And Saul said unto her in verse 14, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. This little baby, this little prayer that started off over here in chapter 1, this little child that came into chapter 2, This man that came through the rest of the book of Samuel. This man that was grown. This man that got old. This man that died. And now Saul says, what form is he in? And she said, he's an old man. Listen, time doesn't wait for anybody. If you're waiting till tomorrow to get saved, you may not have tomorrow. You know, in 2017, there's been over 1,000 people died in Knox County alone. That's according to the Knoxville News Sentinel obituary. I know there's a lot more than that because there's 625 last month. That's a lot of people in a month, isn't it? It could have been you. It could have been me. Next year, next month, or next week, may be you. We're not promised. And I look in the obituaries just about every day. Why you do that, preacher? Well, a lot of people I went to school with dying out. A lot of folks that I grew up with, a lot of people that I knew, they're not young. They're not children anymore. They've done most of them past manhood, and now they're into old manhood. And they're dying. I don't know how many of my school teachers I've seen in there. People that I knew down through the years, and they're all, this is one by one, they're leaving here. And one day I'm going to be leaving too. One day somebody's going to be looking at my name in there. I may be one of that 625. I will be if time goes on. I'm looking for Jesus. Some people ain't looking for nothing. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uptaker. Some people not looking for anything. Just going to tell you something this morning. Time not going to wait on you. Time won't wait on you. You think back, and a lot of times I do. I just sit and reminisce sometimes. I think about when I was a child. And sometimes I think, I can't remember too far back in my childhood, but then start thinking about it. You may remember farther back than what you think you can. I remember things that sometimes I mention them to my mom or dad, and they say, how do you remember that? I don't know how I remember it, but it's my life. I remember it, some of it. We start thinking back. And then we start coming forward with our life. I can remember times when I've been hurt. I remember times when I'd be out in the 1st of May barefooted, because that was the first day we could go barefooted. I'd step on a bumblebee or something right out of the box, man. I'd run out in the yard, and first thing I'd do, either step on a Coke bottle cap, a piece of glass, or a bee. Yeah. And I'd go right back in the house and put my shoes back on. I remember that. I remember being shocked. And I remember bicycle wrecks I've had. I remember two or three different times being hit by a car. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I've had a lot of dangerous, bad things happen in my life that could have took me out of here, but it didn't. Yeah. And I'm sure that you have had those too. And you may want to stop and say, why am I still here? Because God's got a use for you. Yeah. One of these days, I'll preach my last message. I'll sing my last song. And when that happens, then Jesus is going to say, come on up here. I'm done with you now. There's nothing else left to do. I hope that's when he steps out on the clouds of glory and says, okay, just lay the rest of it down. We're going home. Oh, that's what my heart's desire is, but I'm sure that's what everybody's heart's desire has been. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Listen, Paul, you hear what he said? We shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed. You know what Paul's saying? I'm going to be one of those that goes in the rapture. That's what Paul was actually in effect by the wording that he used there. That's what he believed. He's been gone nearly 2,000 years, 1,900 and something years. But he was looking for Jesus. All the epistles and everything that's written talks about Jesus like he's coming after me. Peter and John, all of them, he's coming after me. Everybody was looking for him to come after me. And he didn't. The old preachers that I've heard all my life said, Jesus coming to get us. Us. Not you all, us. See, that includes me. I preach that all the time. The Lord's coming to take us home. I'm including myself because I'm looking for Jesus to step out on the clouds of glory and call me out of this world. But if he don't, I'll be like old Samuel. One day, I remember when he was a little boy. Then I remember when he was a man. Then I remember when he was an old man. Now he's a dead man. I tell you, we're all going the same way. It's not, listen, God's not going to change anything for you. He's not going to make any allowances for you. Time goes on and on and on. Day follows night and night follows day. This old world just keeps rolling along. Every day is another day. And it never stops. It never ceases. It's just like the ocean. The waves never stop. Never do stop. We was coming in the other night, I guess, and Miss Carol said, look up there at that moon. Man, what a big moon that is, full moon. I said, you know, when I look at the moon, sometimes I think about all the people that's looked at that same moon. Ain't but one. Ain't but one moon. I mean, you can get into scientific stuff and maybe you can come up with some more, but I want to tell you something. There's one sun, one moon. And Jesus walked this earth. He looked at that moon. You ever think about that? The Apostle Paul walking this earth, looking at that moon. All the old apostles, all the old preachers, all the old people of God that have come through this life have looked at that same moon that you and I can go out tonight and look up and see. Same one. All the people. And you know something? They all came, they all grew up, they all got old, and they all died. And one day, I'll be following in their footsteps unless Jesus comes first. Time is not going to wait on you. If you're here this morning, you're lost without God, I'd urge you to come. Come while there's still time. Get your heart right with God. Get peace in your heart today. Because I want to tell you something. You say, preacher, I've got peace in my heart. I'm saved. Then why don't we do what God says to do? Why are we shirking our responsibilities to the Lord? We need something. Whatever it is that you might need. And I know everybody, I know there's a lot of people here this morning that I've got all the confidence in the world. And you're good people, you're good Christian people. And I love you. And if I've got something I need prayed about, I call you. Because I believe I've got confidence in your prayers. But then there's others. While they come, get a song. This is the message. Time just keeps rolling on. And it does. 2018, starting a brand new year. Closing out 2017. That's a little exciting, I know. It's a little nerve-wracking, I know. Look back over 2017. What do you see in your life? Do you see any good that you've accomplished for the Lord? Do you see any change that you've made for the better toward God? You know, I was thinking this morning, I hate to bring this up, but I just, you know, a year ago at this time, Brother Jack was sitting right here. About the 25th, I believe, of February, God called him home. 2017 is his year. And he's gone to be with the Lord, never to suffer anymore. But I also know people that 2017 was their year, and in all likelihood, they dropped off into the pits of hell to never stop suffering. Oh, I will tell you something this morning, church. Make sure you're ready to go because this could be your time. We're not promised anything except death and judgment. Make sure you're ready for both of those. Father, we thank you for giving us the privilege to stand. Thank you, God, for the message this morning. Lord, I ask you, God, to touch hearts today. Lord, that one that may be here that's lost. Lord, I know what people say. Everybody's saved when you ask them. But God, you know their heart. They know their heart. Lord, help them this morning to realize that time is just going to keep rolling on and on and on until they get old and die, or they die young. God, help us today to surrender our hearts and lives to Jesus this morning. God, help us this morning that we just turn ourselves over to you. Be with us through the invitation today, God, and just bless this morning. God, bless each one to get closer to you. Help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we stand this morning, while we sing.
Let's grab our church hymn and let's turn to page
comes, you'll close.